Hello, and welcome indeed to All Things Queer on RTR FM 92.1, your weekly radio show covering queer news and culture from a local perspective, broadcast live on Whadjuk Noongar Boodja from the city of Perth. My name is Sophie, and today I'm joined by, who am I joined by?
Me. That's Rosie.
Yeah, that's right, me. We're going to have a fantastic show lined up today. I'm really excited for that. But before we get to it, thank you as always to Fiona for another wonderful edition of On The Record. You can restream On The Record by visiting the RTRFM website or by joining us live Monday to Thursday, 9 to 11. Rosie, if people want to reach out to us anytime during the show, how can they do that?
You can text us or you can call us. Yes. You can text us. Text us on 0405 921 91 or call us on 9260 9210. I forgot what numbers were for a second.
No, you know, honestly, same. It's so fine. You just need
it's
words.
It's a very hard concept to grasp, okay?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. I don't need to know anything more than that, honestly. Beautiful. Or you can email at studio@rtrfm.com.au. We've got a lot coming up on today's program. Soon we'll be hearing from a chat I had earlier this morning with Professor Paula Gerber about the issues surrounding the Sydney Morning Herald and Rebel Wilson, a very dicey, very interesting chat, issue that is. Rosie, what did you personally make of it? It was a bit much, hey?
Personally, I was just thinking, out of all the Pitch Perfect cast, why was it Rebel Wilson? Good on her, but out of all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so we'll be hearing about a rundown of those issues and dissecting that. And then later on in the show, we'll be hearing from the WA AIDS Council. Rosie, what are we going to be hearing from Lisa Dobrin about?
They've started a new fundraiser with the Containers for Change for WAC. And yeah, it's set to bring in some money, and I think it'll really help their cause and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. We'll find out more about that later on in the show.
Last week, the world celebrated as actor Rebel Wilson shared that she'd found love with new partner Ramona Agruma. Wilson said in the past she may have looked for a Disney prince, but she had found happiness with a Disney princess.
It's quite a cute way to announce the well-received news by her fans. But on Saturday, the story unfortunately took a different turn when the Sydney Morning Herald published a column bemoaning that they had approached Wilson about sharing her news, and it set off a public backlash that is still going on. To walk us through the drama and unpack the important issues at play, earlier I joined Professor Paula Gerber from Monash University, and I started by asking if she could give a quick rundown of events so far. Paula, are you able to give us a quick rundown of the events so far?
Yes, it's a rather surprising turn of events. We saw Rebel Wilson post on Instagram that she turned out she was looking for a Disney princess, not a Disney prince, a very cute way of coming out. Mm-hmm. And then we had an article in the Sydney Morning Herald by a journalist, their sort of gossip column guy, saying he made a big mistake by inviting Rebel Wilson to comment on his story about her same-sex relationship, that he had enough to publish, and he gave her 48 hours to respond. So he then had an absolute dummy spit in this article saying, she gazumped him. He was mistaken to have given her the opportunity to respond to his questions. And really, it was very unfair that she came out herself rather than letting him out her. Then the Sydney Morning Herald seems to have doubled down by saying, well, we would have asked the same question if it had been a male partner. You know, this is just how we work. And then finally, I think some 48 hours after that, we get an apology. The column's been taken down. We made a mistake. We'll learn from this.
When is a celebrity's private life really ever in the public interest when it comes to journalism? I thought, like, you know, outing someone through the press seems like a kind of an outdated thing, no?
Incredibly outdated. What I would say is that the timing of this is particularly unfortunate because we've had years of the LGBTIQ community being attacked by the previous government. We had, you know, Morrison endorsing Catherine Deves and all her transphobic comments. We had the refusal to ban students from being expelled from school because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. We had Peter Dutton refusing to let defence personnel celebrate Ida Hobbit Day. And so we've had years of attacks. We have a sigh of relief that finally that period is over. And then within a few weeks, we have the media outing or wanting to out someone. And so the cumulative effects of all these attacks is particularly painful and hard for the community. But, you know, no one more so than a high-profile person who, you know, is under threat, although the Sydney Morning Herald don't like using that word, but really that's what it was, of being outed. Those days are gone, or they should be gone. I mean, we saw in 1978 the Sydney Morning Herald published the names of the 53 people who had protested really the first gay Mardi Gras in Sydney. And those people, you know, were mostly in the closet because back then it was still a crime to be gay. And so marriages ended, people lost their jobs, they were shunned by family and friends. And in 2016, the Sydney Morning Herald apologised and said we shouldn't have outed them. And yet here we are in 2022 and they're still trying to out people. So, yeah, so I think there's no place for it at all in media in this day and age.
Yes, it doesn't particularly seem like it should be in the public interest or in the pursuit of journalism. What other implications does this have for other folks in the public eye who are thinking of coming out, which, you know, at the best of times can be quite an intimidating experience?
Look, it's a huge decision. Some people would say it's the most, you know, the biggest decision they ever make in their life to come out. And they need to be able to do it in their own way, in their own time, without this sort of pressure. So what, if anything good is to come of these recent events, I would like it to be that the media takes a good hard look at itself, increases their knowledge and awareness of the discrimination, the prejudice that LGBTIQ people have faced over years, and really make a commitment to never outing anyone. It's not their call when someone comes out. It is only ever the decision of the individual.
You are listening to All Things Queer on RTR FM 92.1, and we are currently chatting to Professor Paula Gerber from Monash University about the Sydney Morning Herald and Rebel Wilson. What has the response been from Rebel's supporters?
That is another silver lining from this event, in that she has been overwhelmed by support. And, you know, Australia doesn't often feature in the global media and the New York Times and the like, but this certainly has. And all sorts of people have come out condemning the Sydney Morning Herald and supporting Rebel Wilson. Most recently, Whoopi Goldberg on her television show said, you know, this is no one's decision but Rebel Wilson's. And so, yes, she should feel very supported by not just the LGBTIQ community who welcomed her, but, you know, the broader media, you know, The Guardian has condemned what has happened in many other media outlets. So, and she has handled this with a great deal of dignity and grace. So she hasn't, you know, lashed out at the Sydney Morning Herald. She hasn't counterattacked. She's just handled it with enormous dignity.
I believe the original article has been retracted, but what else has the Sydney Morning Herald said in response to everything that's been going on?
They said that they are you know, they've changed their tact a few times after initially sort of doubling down and saying, no, that we did nothing wrong. They have now admitted that, look, they didn't handle things very well at all. They are going to learn from this. I would really encourage them to get in touch with someone like Equality Australia or the Australian Human Rights Commission and to really have some training, some awareness raising to make sure that this never happens again, because really that needs to be the positive that comes out of this. They certainly have recognised that the tone was wrong. They regret what they have done. It's not quite as fulsome an apology as I would like to see, but there's certainly recognition that the original column was wrong and their response after that was also not the best.
Paula, thank you so much for chatting with us on All Things Queer.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. All the best.
That there was a conversation I had earlier this morning with Professor Paula Gerber from Monash University, helping us unpack everything that's been going on in terms of the Sydney Morning Herald and Rebel Wilson coming out to tell us that she's got a new partner. Containers for Change, as you might know, allows community groups to raise funds while also encouraging recycling. WA AIDS Council, formerly known as the WA AIDS Council, is the latest organisation to launch a program partnering with Containers for Change. And CEO Lisa Dobrin joins us now to chat about how it works, how you can take part, and what the funds will be used for. Lisa, thank you for joining us on All Things Queer.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you briefly outline for folks who may not know what exactly WAC is and does?
Yes, certainly. So thanks for the opportunity to be on your show. It's always a great privilege and a pleasure to be with you. WAC is an organisation, a not-for-profit NGO that's been around for about 36 years. We have a vision to create positive, healthy people in inclusive, connected communities. So what our purpose really is to try and optimise the sexual health and wellbeing of all people. And we primarily do that through reducing the impact of stigma and discrimination. We try and improve the access to health services for people and provide information. And we reduce the transmission of HIV and sexually transmitted infections, as well as bloodborne viruses.
Why did you choose Containers for Change to help fundraise?
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, the initiative came up a couple of years ago in October of 2020. It was a difficult year for many of us, as we know, with COVID, borders, all those kinds of challenges that we were facing. And the Containers for Change initiative was launched, and we just thought it was a brilliant opportunity that looks at benefits for the planet, for the community and for businesses. And so we met with Containers for Change, who are a wonderful organisation, and we started a conversation around how we could maybe look at partnering for WAC, combat stigma, and kind of like WAC the stigma that we see in the community for the communities and the individuals we support and serve, whilst trying to fight the fill, which is one of the taglines for the Containers for Change initiative, which is essentially about keeping landfill free from plastic and from recyclable bottles.
What exactly does your Containers for Change program entail?
Sure. So we called it Waste for WAC, and essentially what it means is we're trying to reduce the recycling rates in WA, and then, as I said before, trying to keep containers out of landfill and in the environment. But at the same time, we thought we could do a really good job of raising both funds and critical awareness of the people and communities that we support who experience more stigma and discrimination than maybe the average person on the street does. But at the same time, we made a decision to partner with another not-for-profit, which formerly was Ability WA and is now the Scouts WA, who part of their initiative is that they seek funds from the bottles that they receive in their environment is to provide employment to young people, people with disability, and also Indigenous Australians. At the same time, what we're trying to do is help businesses to cut their waste management costs as well. So the idea is it supports community by reducing stigma and discrimination, and it also helps the planet by taking plastic out of the landfill.
You are listening to All Things Queer on RTRFM 92.1, and we are currently chatting to WAC Council CEO Lisa Dobrin about the partnership with the Containers for Change and how it is raising money for the organisation. What is the WAC's goal with the Containers for Change program?
Well, we're hoping to raise money, as I said, and part of that is people bring their containers that are worth 10 cents to us, and then what we do is we get to recycle them and we get to keep that money. We also, because we partner with the Scouts WA, we get to contribute 8 cents towards them as well, and as I said, that helps them with helping people with employment to have opportunities to have jobs in the community as well. What we're trying to do is, well, so far we've raised, just to let you know, our latest stats, so we've saved 39,469 containers from landfill, and that is a total of $3,946.90. Now that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but every cent we raise goes towards fighting and combating the stigma and discrimination that a lot of the people we support and serve experience. We also have 12 business champions at the moment. So what we're trying to do is we're partnering with local businesses as well as big corporates in order for them to start to collect containers on our behalf. We get the benefit, as does the Scouts WA, but also we're raising awareness and advocating and providing health promotion messaging and training and other complementary services to those corporates and the community whilst raising money and, again, taking that plastic out of the landfill, which is really important for us from an environmental perspective.
Lisa, how can listeners take part in this program to support WAC?
Awesome. Look, there's a few different ways. So one, they can become a community champion. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make as big an impact as we can, and that means anyone who wants to collect their cartons or their containers, their eligible product, can do that for us. They can do that by becoming a community champion and just saying, signing up with us and saying, yep, look, I want to collect my containers for you. We don't care if that's one container or whether that's, you know, thousands of containers. They sign up with us and then we can work out how we can give them bags or bins and we can come and collect them for that. They can donate them by having our scheme ID and they can drop them off at a depot if they like for us as well. They can also become a Waste Rat Warrior. A Waste Rat Warrior is, for anyone who knows us, we go to events and we have our Safe Sex Angels who are providing safe sex packs and condoms and lube and other important health promotion activities and paraphernalia. And they normally are in red wings and with a red halo. And our Waste Rat Warriors now all our events as well. And they're in green wings with a green halo. And they get to walk around and educate the public on the importance of recycling these 10-cent containers whilst also talking to them about WAC, what we do, the need to keep combating stigma and discrimination. Or if you're a business, a small business, as I said, a large business or a corporate, and you want to partner with us again by saving your product as well as getting some education about what we do and raising some critical funds for us, then you can let us know. And the last one, as I said before, is about events. So last year we were at Pride Fair Day, we were at the Pride Parade, we were at Fringe for a month, and again the Waste for WAC Warriors and Champions were there helping the public to save their containers from either putting it in a landfill bill or even a recycling bin and then putting it in a Waste for WAC bin. So there's plenty of ways people can get involved. If they just let us know, we'll be really happy to support them on that journey with us.
Thank you, Lisa, for joining us on All Things Queer.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.